Good morning and welcome to worship from Murfreesboro Baptist Church. I'm certainly glad to see all of you here on this beautiful Sunday morning, the second Sunday of Easter. And as always, we are grateful to have those of you who worship with us online or over the radio. There are several announcements in the back of your bulletin, the most important of which is that next Sunday is our Day of Revival. Dr. Greg Rogers from Oakmont in Greenville will share a word with us Sunday morning and then again Sunday evening. And don't forget the supper, which will be at 5 o'clock. It's a potluck supper. The church will provide bread and meat, but I hope that you will join us and share some of your good sides and desserts so that we can enjoy a good meal together at last. Also, you'll notice that on May 8th, we have openings for Sanctuary Flowers. And on May 8th, we will have communion as we had it before COVID. So we'll have the plate with crackers and the cups of juice. That said, if you do still prefer the prepackaged cups, those will be available. So either or, take your choice. But I know that most of us are very ready to get back to doing it the way we did prior to COVID. Also, we're thankful today to have Dewan Lee from Chowan filling in for Paula as she is out. And also, this is the last Sunday for Jordan and Corbin as interns. They've been with us for almost 2 years now, and I know it's been a tough 2 years, not just for them and the youth, but for everybody. And so on behalf of Murfreesboro Baptist, I want to thank you for coming and joining us and providing some leadership to our youth. And I hope that we have been a place for both of you to dabble your feet in pastoral vocational ministry, and I hope that you will continue to go on and do great things. Corbin will be going to Baylor University to begin a master's degree, and Jordan will be pursuing an internship at Fort Caswell for the next year. So congratulations to both of you on your upcoming graduations, and prayers for continued faithfulness in your life of service. And now let us worship by standing and singing together our call to worship, number 208, He is Lord. Will you join me in reading responsively from our call to worship? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise Him in the highest heavens.
Praise Him for His mighty deeds.
Praise Him for His surpassing greatness.
Praise him with trumpets, with lutes and harps.
Praise him with tambourines and dance.
Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with sound of cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
We will praise the Lord.
Let us pray together. God of grace and God of mercy, who raised Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to life, and who has promised to raise us to new life as well, we offer our thanks and our praise as we worship you this day, for we continue to rejoice in the good news of Easter, and we continue to hope in the promises you have made. In this coming hour of worship, we pray that your Spirit might fill each of us anew so that our trust in your steadfast love might be strengthened. May it move within us and among us, causing us to know that you are the one who sustains and redeems the world. Make your good and glorious presence known to us, O God, as we strive to set our eyes and our hearts on the good news of resurrection. In the name of Christ the Lord we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing together our hymn of praise, number 217, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Children like to come join me for the children's sermon. You get to come up here today. Well, I've got a question. Do you all remember what we celebrated last week? What was last week? It was Easter. And what do we celebrate? Why is Easter so special? Because we celebrate the fact that Jesus was resurrected, and that means a whole lot of good stuff for us. But do you know what happened after that first Easter? Well, there was a lot of stuff that happened. There was a lot of stuff that happened after that first Easter. And in John's Gospel, we hear a story about Jesus returning to the upper room where he and his disciples had eaten the Last Supper. And when he showed up, everybody was amazed. But there was one disciple, a man named Thomas, who wasn't there. And when Thomas returned, Jesus had already left. So all of his friends started telling him about how Jesus had just been there and about how awesome it was that Jesus was alive again. But Thomas wasn't so sure. He had some questions. He had never seen anybody come back to life before. So even though he thought it would be really, really great if Jesus were alive, he just couldn't make himself believe. But then, a few days later, Thomas finally saw Jesus. Now, how do you think Jesus reacted when Thomas saw him? Do you think that maybe Jesus was kind of mad at Thomas because he couldn't quite believe the first time? Or do you think that maybe Jesus gave him some kind of punishment for being a little slow? That's right, Winslow. More than anything else, Jesus was glad that Thomas was finally starting to believe. He was happy that Thomas's questions had been answered, and Jesus was thankful that another one of his disciples was able to experience his resurrection. And do you know what that means for you and for me? It means a lot of things, but one of the things it means is that we can ask God any question we like. It means that you can ask me or Miss Sarah any question about God that you're wondering about. God wants us to know him better, and one of the best ways to do that is to ask questions. And even though we won't always get an answer, we should never stop asking. Let's have a prayer. God, we are thankful for Easter and for the resurrection of Jesus. We are also thankful that you're always ready to hear our questions and to help us get closer to you. Amen.
She's just a little bit dramatic. Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. The word of God for us, the people of God. As we turn now to our time of prayer, we continue to remember Andrea Eason and Leanna Driggers, Larry Futrell, Genevieve Broadhead, and Randy Copeland. We also this morning continue to pray for Lisa Turner, who is in the midst of recovering from her hip replacement. And we also pray for Judy, your family, and the loss of your sister. We pray this morning for Janice Smith, and for Keith Phipps, whose wife passed away last night. Are there any others? The Sproul family? Okay, so the Sproul family. Are there any others? If not, let us pray silently. And T.W., how did I forget T.W.? His big procedure is coming up in a few weeks, so we certainly continue to pray for you, Debbie, and for T.W. Let us pray together.
Lord, in the midst of this Easter season, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the sure promise of new life, we are also still mindful that the curse of death is still present. We are not yet free from that which troubles us. And Lord, as we remember these brothers and sisters this morning, we realize that there is still work to be done. Your redemption is not finished. And so for these families who are suffering loss, we pray that you would be powerfully present in their lives. May you comfort them and bring the hope and peace that can only come through Christ. And Lord, for those who are in the midst of medical battles, may you guide the hands of doctors and nurses. May you be with the therapist and the support staff. May you bring healing and wholeness back to those bodies that are ill. And Lord, as we remember these, we are also mindful that there are many who go unmentioned. There are hurts and pains that continue to plague so many. And so we pray that you would be present in each and every situation. Our groans are more powerful than we know. So may you hear, may you respond, and may you continue to bring new life and redemption to we who are hurting and troubled. In the name of Christ, the risen Lord, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to stand and join me in singing hymn number 200, In the Garden.
I am the Lord.
We are God's people, called to do God's work, and much of that work depends on our faithful generosity. So let us give faithfully and generously, surrendering back to God a portion of that which He has freely given to us. Let us pray together. May you bless these gifts, O God, and may you bless those who have given them. Together, Lord, may the gifts and the givers unite to do the good work of your kingdom, to meet the real needs of our community, and to proclaim the unfailing love of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we offer this and all of our prayers. Amen. Jordan?
Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be with you all on this wonderful, beautiful spring Sunday morning. I'm so grateful for some final consistency in the weather. And as Pastor Lane mentioned earlier, this is the final Sunday that Corbin and I will be with you. So I just wanted to take some time before my message to thank you From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful to you all for this wonderful opportunity. I've learned so much through this time as a youth pastor intern. I remember as if it was yesterday when we signed our contracts and we began this journey. And frankly, we didn't really know how it would go. Corbin and I had never really done anything like this before. And so we started with 5 or 6 youth, and it was very enjoyable. We didn't really have a plan then, but we knew that it was going to be good, I promise. But as circumstances happened, the pandemic hit, and as many of you know, we were out of church for a good long time. But we eventually came back, and Wednesday night started up, and we went from having 5 youth to just 1, that being Charlotte. And although there were times we wished we had more, and a few of Charlotte's friends came, regardless, it was an amazing experience, and I felt like me and Corbin both grew through it, and we really learned as youth pastor interns. And I also want to thank Pastor Lane as well for being so supportive through this time. He's always ready to answer any questions for us and to give us advice, and I thank you for that. And I also want to thank you all for your support on Sunday mornings. I'm a very big critic of myself, and you all have just been so supportive as a church congregation, and it has really encouraged me these past few years to grow and to be nurtured in ministry. So I thank you. And now, our second scripture reading comes from John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know in all things, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, the title of my sermon is "Mistakes Are Not the End." We've just celebrated Easter this past Sunday, and I wanted to focus on an event that happened shortly after that. I instantly thought of Peter as a good story. He is one of the major early church figures and a figure that we can all relate to as Christians. Earlier, Pastor Lane read the story of Peter denying Jesus 3 times. John tells the story a little different than the other Gospels, but regardless, there are 3 denials in this. In John, they occur in the high priest's courtyard as Jesus is about to appear before the Sanhedrin. Peter and another disciple followed Jesus after he was arrested. The first denial occurred with a servant who knew the other disciple and asked, "Are you not one of the other disciples as well?" And Peter replied, "No, I am not." The other two occurred later on and were followed back to back, first by the crowd gathered around a fire warming up themselves, and then by another servant of the high priest who was a relative to the man whose ear was cut off by Peter. Immediately after, a rooster crowed following the third denial, as Jesus had predicted before his arrest. In the Gospel of Luke, we read and we find that Peter realized what he had done, and immediately he ran off and wept in grief. This was a great offense against Christ, but his story didn't end there. I find with my generation, and this is, I'm sure, with many of your generations as well, that we often question our salvation, that we don't believe we deserve it. I myself have struggled with this, and I'm sure many of you have as well in the congregation. For many of us, it's a hard reality to accept the fact that we cannot earn our salvation. I find that something inside myself wants to believe that I play a major integral part of that, but the reality is that I am standing here before you by the grace of God and His mercy and His love. That is the part of me that is prideful, the part that, the part that wants me to believe that I'm here because of myself. That is the prideful part of me, the evil part that makes me wander away from Christ. We are helpless by ourselves alone. Prone to evil, we wander. But in that moment when we give ourselves to Christ fully, trusting His promises, we are spiritually renewed beyond anything we could ever imagine. Salvation is not a gift one can earn, but rather we receive it. Paul makes this very clear in his letter to the Ephesians. From the second chapter, it reads, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, this passage perfectly describes the life of a Christian before and after. Before, we are sinful, as I said earlier, and prone to do what we see as pleasurable in our sight, wandering the broad path that leads to destruction. But Christ leads us to the narrow path that brings life. And because of this, we ourselves cannot boast or brag about our salvation. We are created by God as His handiwork and should therefore follow the example of Christ and live a life like a servant doing good works. Although we aren't going to be perfect, we should always strive to do what is good. The life of a Christian is a life of repentance, to completely turn away from those things that lead us away from Christ and seek heavenly things instead. That is the essence of the Christian path. Looking at the scripture I just read moments ago for our second scripture, it is clear that Peter didn't deserve forgiveness. Christ, in His grace and mercy, saw that although Peter made this mistake, denying Him three times, he also recognized that he could still accomplish great things for the kingdom. This part in Peter's story takes place while Jesus is having breakfast with His disciples shortly after His resurrection. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this is clearly to indicate to Peter that he still remembers the three denials earlier in John. But Jesus understood the future Peter would have. He understood that Peter would be one of the first leaders of the church around Jerusalem. He also understood that there would come a time when Peter would have to give his life in martyrdom for the faith. If you don't know, tradition says that Peter would become a martyr for Christ, being crucified upside down. There are other possible themes going on here as well, one of which being, if you look at the original text in the Greek, there are different words used to describe love in the text. Jesus in the text uses the word agape, which is unconditional love. Peter, in the Greek, however, uses the word phileo, which refers to more of a brotherly or friendship love. Jesus may have asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times to get him to understand that he needs to have that unconditional love in his life for what to prepare for what was going to happen to him in the future and his future role in the faith. Regardless of this, it is clear that Peter had unconditional love in the end for Jesus, and he understood his role as a Christian. For us as Christians today, I find that there are times when something happens in our lives and we view it as a mistake as well, but later on we look at that event in our lives as a blessing. For an example, I know that in my life there was a time when I viewed going to Cho'on as a mistake in all honesty. It was very, very difficult on my faith being in the academic religion program. I didn't expect or understand what I was reading and learning. I had never been exposed to it before. But over time, I grew and I learned that to be more open as a believer. And I view it more now as a blessing. And it, if anything, it has prepared me more for the ministry to be a much more understanding believer and a much better person that can be relied on. I've learned so much about Christianity these past few years that I didn't know about, and it's really opened my eyes to a new way of looking at my faith and the Bible itself. Regardless if an event in our life is truly a mistake or something we'll reflect on later in life differently, we need to understand that as long as we have faith in Jesus and continue to seek Him, our salvation is secure. Life is short, so do good with the time you have. Don't dwell on the past mistakes. Understand that if you have repented in your heart, you are forgiven. And go out into the world to help others that they may know that as well. That's all I have for you guys this morning. Would you please pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you for this time of fellowship where we can gather together as a congregation to learn more about you and your word. I pray that we as Christians would remember your grace and mercy. Although we sin and we make mistakes, Lord, you see past that and forgive us as we repent. Help us to be reassured of that and to be confident in our faith as we go out into the world. I also want to thank you for this opportunity that you blessed me with, Lord. I pray that the youth, that they would make a difference in the world, in the lives of those around us. And I thank you for this congregation. I pray that they would continue to grow and continue to learn more about you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, our hymn of invitation, hymn number 620, Because He Lives.
Thank you.
And so, as we go out into this new week, understand that mistakes are not the end of your journey. Understand that through repentance, you are spiritually renewed. Amen.